He's Jeff Phelps. I'm Andy Baskin. 216-474-0092. That is the number to call in. Coming up in this hour, we will talk to Chris Rose. He'll join us at 1240. So we'll catch up with him. One of the things that came out of the Senior Bowl, and by the way, I'm going to be distracted here for a second. Listen, the Senior Bowl, right? Here's the problem with the Senior Bowl. Ready? It's the logo. So, like, we always have it on here.
You know
where I'm going with
this?
Yes,
I know where you're going.
No, but like subliminally, it made me think.
Did you go downstairs and buy some?
Yeah, I bought them yesterday. So it's the Reese's Cup, or Reese's Senior
Reese's.
Bowl. Reese's, whatever. He can say whatever he wants. I don't care. Last night,
How were they? Were they good?
No, here's what I did that was different. Do you know they make a popcorn too? It's like a Reese's Drizzle on popcorn.
Oh, my.
And I was picking up
popcorn and chocolate and peanut butter.
Oh, it was so good.
I got peanut butter on my popcorn.
It was so good. And I'm telling you that I think subliminally they're sending me messages that I need to eat it.
Baskin.
Is that wrong? Am I wrong? Am I crazy?
Eat some Reese's.
It totally like came out to me yesterday.
They used to have like bowls filled with them all over the place at the Senior Bowl where you would just like walk by and grab one.
Like the minis or the...
I have never been to the Senior Bowl. I am passing this along from people who have told me such things that they used to have bowls of them and you could just grab a Reese's cup.
Along with tubs of aspirin because, you know, with all the salt content, you got a headache.
So I've never been to the Senior Bowl, but I did work in college sports. I was at College Sports Nation at SiriusXM back when Phil Savage was I didn't mean to do that, but because he was also a host on XM at the time, he would always send Reese's from the Senior Bowl.
Really?
And
we're on the same page. Ignore him. Ignore him.
I'm always gonna say Reese's because that's
me too. Same as
but
yes.
What he would send, it was astronomical. It was if Hershey's made a version of this Reese's cup because it's the Hershey's company.
Right.
They had it and Phil sent it. We had, really? We didn't have like a closet, but our program director's desk was just piled high with Reese's that Phil had sent to the station.
I always thought he was a good guy. And that,
oh,
now,
100%
now you've doubled
guy.
Down on it. 100% doubled on it.
He used to live in the same apartment building as a friend of mine.
And?
Nice guy.
That's the story he lived in. There's no stories about the apartment complex that you're about to drop some wisdom on us?
Nope.
Wow. That was like the ultimate tease.
It was back when he was a young pup with the Browns.
Andrew Berry is not going to trade Myles Garrett. What does that mean for the Browns? And is that a statement of saying we are close to contention because we are not going to trade him? Is that how you read into yesterday's message?
No.
How do you read into it?
They like having one of the best defensive players in the game on the defensive line, so they're not trading him. You're not going to get to where you want to be if you're looking for a defensive end to go along with a quarterback and everything else that you need. So you might as well keep the guy you already have under contract.
I think, one, as a fan, when you hear that, when you hear, okay, Andrew Berry says we're not going to trade Myles Garrett, I'm like, phew, okay, good. They've got a Hall of Fame player that they don't want to get rid of, that they believe in, and they believe he can anchor the defense moving forward.
You
right?
think he's a Hall of Famer?
I think he's going to be, yeah.
Me too.
Okay. But I also think that when you have talent, why would you want to give it up? And we know it sounded like he was a little disgruntled towards the end of the season, but then things seemed to simmer down. They must have had a conversation after he had shown a little disgruntled and wanted to know what direction the team was going on. And maybe that was something that may have kickstarted some conversations towards an extension in his contract, because that seems to be where they're going with this thing with him.
Or maybe it was a ploy just to get a contract extension. And if it was, great, good for him.
Or maybe he was truly frustrated after a loss.
Which I can understand completely.
And we've seen...
He's out there busting his you-know-what, and it's not going anywhere.
The other part, too, is the Joe Thomas theory here. Like, do you want to be Hall of Famer like Joe Thomas that doesn't have any rings to go along with what you did, or, you know, this great playoff experience that, you know, led the team to a season that no one will ever forget and blah, 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 blah. We will never forget.
How's that go again?
Blah, 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 blah. But the key right now for Myles Garrett is that lasting implant in the back of your mind about him forever moving forward is his ability to get sacks, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that is how we have embedded him into our minds. I'd like to embed that into my mind with saying, wow, he had all those sacks, and I'll never forget he was there for the Browns' first Super Bowl. He was there for the time they won that first Super Bowl, or they got to that first Super Bowl. Like, I think that's, you know, that's bigger than money. And I know we have this conversation yesterday about money. And really, is that ultimately why you're playing the game? I don't know. I think a lot of players have it because in their heart, they want to win a Super Bowl. They want to say, we were the best that ever walked down on the field. That I don't know if there's any money that can translate the same.
That was Roy Hobbs.
The best that ever was? But he got shot on his way doing it. That's the problem.
Oh, well.
So my question for you then is, do you think that the Browns are close to contention by what he's saying? I think what he's saying, and I think Jeff and I are on the same page for this, that what Andrew Berry's saying is, we have a Hall of Fame talent. Why would we let that go at any price? If you want two draft picks, now you're putting it out there saying, well, we hope we could have two more Hall of Famers based on this one Hall of Famer, rather than hanging on to one Hall of Famer. And I'd rather hang on to the Hall of Famer. And then knowing that you have, again, four picks in the top 103, that maybe you can find that perfect complement to him on the other side of the line. Because that's where they are right now.
First-round draft history is littered with players who didn't reach their potential. This one did. Just put him at defensive end and let's go.
Is there any part of you that thinks that's a mistake? That Andrew's saying that, you know what? If somebody came up to you and said three first-round draft picks for him, now were you thinking?
Yeah, but nobody will.
The question that came up yesterday as they were talking to him was like, if somebody came up to you while you were eating lunch or dinner and said, hey, I'll give you two first-round draft picks for Myles Garrett, would you do it? He's like, no. So he kind of doubled down on the whole thing, saying, no, I'm not trading him. I don't want to trade him. I don't think there's a Browns fan that...
I just wouldn't take his words as like, okay, if you're a Myles fan and you want him here, I wouldn't take his words as, whew, okay, good, he's going to be here. It's pro sports, folks. We all know what happens. Anything happens. And Myles might not, let's say they try to negotiate a new contract and it doesn't go well. Well, where's Amari Cooper now? Amari's in Buffalo.
Right, but okay. Amari's not Myles.
No, he's not. But, you know, the Browns wanted to keep Amari around and blah, blah, blah. And he ended up getting traded. If by chance contract talks didn't go well, you could be sure they'd be interested in hearing offers for Myles. I hope that he gets a contract extension and that he finishes his career as a member of the Browns. I think he's a special, special defensive player, and I don't want him going anywhere. But we all know the reality of pro sports.
Do you think, and this is a little bit off, do you think the Browns learned a lesson with what happened with Baker Mayfield? Do you think there was a lesson to be learned there? About noise getting out, about trying to bring in someone else, or about trying to upgrade when you have someone that has had success or even mild success. And I think Baker had success while he was here. And he had injury, too. And I also think Baker's just a different cat. Like, I think he takes things very, very personal and sometimes doesn't associate the business with the game. And that's okay. I don't have a problem with that because that's what makes Baker Mayfield.
It was well put
Baker
by you.
Mayfield,
well
right?
put by you.
So... And it's what drives him. It's what makes him the player that he is today. And he just got a nod for Pro Bowl, didn't he? For this year, I think he just got it because of injury. So I look at that and then I wonder, okay, do the Browns, did they learn anything that maybe they didn't know before? Especially ownership because of the way the Baker Mayfield thing went down. Because it wasn't pretty. It wasn't pretty at all. And, you know, the Browns sat there and were like, well, we got Deshaun Watson. This is going to work, even though they knew he was going to be suspended when he started. So they knew there was going to be a little bit of a pitfall to it, but and the whole storyline that was going along with what Deshaun was coming here, the baggage was not good. And Baker was like, all right, I'm out. Get me out of here. But Baker had to revive his career at two different teams before he finally found this place in Tampa where he's been able to settle in and have success. But I wonder sometimes when the front office makes moves for the Browns if they take some of that stuff into consideration. And, you know, you sometimes need to worry about the PR there with a Myles Garrett and wonder what it's going to look like in the future. You have to play it out before you make a decision on things, right?
I would think...
For certain players.
I would think there was not a whole lot to learn there. The only reason I say it, Andy, is because I think they had already decided they wanted to move on.
I don't know. I think initially they kicked the tires on Deshaun and thought about it. And I don't know that they weren't 100% on moving on because when Deshaun had said no to the Browns in the beginning, they wanted to patch things up with Baker, and Baker didn't want anything to do with them. Said, you had your chance. Now I see you later. Trade me. Get rid of me. Which, I'll tell you, I don't know.
Which they didn't have to do.
They
had to do was, you know, give him a new deal, slap a franchise tag on him, whatever.
And would he have gotten over it? That's the question. Again,
of course he would have.
Well, it goes back to the Mike Tomlin. We want volunteers, not prisoners. And I think he would have felt like he was a prisoner if they would have made him bring him back.
Yeah, until payday.
It's the same thing. But are they closer to contention? And I don't know if... I think they are. But if you hang on to Myles Garrett, you are.
I don't know how you can look at a 3-14 team and truly think you're closer to contention.
So what do they need then? And did they tank the end of the season to say, is that how you got to 3?
I don't think they tanked anything. I don't think they were good enough to win.
Well, they didn't.
The only thing would be you should have played Jameis. If you're trying to give your team the absolute best chance to win, it wasn't by playing DTR and Bailey Zappe.
Dan, are they closer? Because I know we talked a little bit about this before. Do you think that you're making a statement by hanging on to Myles Garrett?
I think you're making a statement that you're not going to tear this roster down. I think you're making a statement that you think that winning is not far away from where this organization currently sits. At least that's how I read it. I mean, it can't just be as simple as, we live in this binary world with this stuff where it's like you're either competing or you're in a toilet. Like, that's where you want to be. It's this binary world that everything is sitting in because it's easier to understand life that way. And so I think the Browns look at this and say, Myles Garrett brings us closer to the winning part. I want winning players. I want Hall of Famers. Let's go. And I think it tells you they want to rebuild that defense and get back to the speed that they had. And they want to rebuild that offense in this offseason because they think there's enough talent to make it work. That's what keeping Myles Garrett says. Moving on from Myles Garrett says, forget it, eject, let's go. I think they want to compete and they think they're right around the corner.
Clearly they want to compete and you're keeping Myles because you need a defensive end on the other side.
This is a team that went 1-31. I don't know that anything is clear sometimes. I mean, they know how to get back up in the draft.
Since then, Andy, they've won some games. Since then, they've actually put some things together. And I think they have a chance to compete next year. But to think we're right there, you were 3-14. To think you're right there doesn't mean you can't. Washington turned it around. What did Washington win the year before? 4 games?
Yeah.
So...
Again, that's going to be our litmus for everybody.
Well, sure it is, but they're not the first team to do it, Andy.
It's not easy, that's for sure, and it doesn't happen that often.
Especially in a division where you're going up against Lamar Jackson and Joe Burrow and...
Whoever Pittsburgh puts out there.
Because they seem to win.
Yes.
As long as it's not Kenny Pickett.
It's all the same, but do you think the Browns are close to Super Bowl contention with the roster they have? I find it difficult right now, but I do think... Hanging on to someone like Myles Garrett and not trading it away is something that says, okay, we feel like we can get there a little bit faster than maybe you do. 216-474-0092. Chris Rowe is also coming up in this hour.